That's like, as I said, is that we're just shooting 1% now. So have a part of it. Just 1%, and we only have set up 1 hour for this meeting. And now, as the people are here in the building, expecting that they will pitch up. Now, if our problem has been solved now, then there is no reason why we can't start our meeting. Members, I just hope that all of you that are supposed to have the agenda, you are having the agenda in front of yourself. And right at the beginning, I think we will just simply propose to start the meeting, but on the agenda we just shift the two items, three and four, just to shift it a little bit down after six, so that then we are able to transact our business with our good friends from the media. And then the others, then we'll communicate to them when we have finalized them at the end of the meeting. Are we agreed? Agreed. Thanks, honorable members, after such a long time. And also, of course, is that to indicate that there was one time when we tried to hold a meeting and we could not get a quorum. And it pained many of us, because some of us had to come from all the way from Joburg to attend that specific meeting, especially in Ntatemlange, and only to find that we could not reach a quorum. And that did not make us happy, and it will not make us happy even in future. And of course, with those words, we just simply requesting a little bit of prioritization for the committee, because it doesn't sit everywhere. It doesn't sit everywhere. The day it is planned to sit, and then we just simply request commitment from members to prioritize it so that it corrects and transfers the business. And then any apologies, Registrar? Therefore, would be a public information, which means it's supposed to be communicated to the public person if he wants it in writing. Registrar, do you have any other development over and above Dr. Kemp?
Chairperson, the public protector request the report Kemp, so in the event of Mrs. Kwale Mashabane, the report has been given to her because it's a public document, but she's requesting all the documents and the correspondence that we receive from the minister. And it is proper that the correspondence, the committee must give permission before we hand over that information. And in the same way, if the matter around Bengu, if it's concluded, that report is a public information. But any information submitted by the member or any other correspondence received from other parties, that information requires the permission of the committee before it's handed over to the public protector.
Okay, I think now we have heard the crux of the matter is the request for information that we have received in the investigation process. And then which I think our colleagues in terms of the rules, it is silent. The rules and the code says the outcome and then and a brief description of the process leading to that outcome must be made public. But then now the information that we have collected in the process is the one that is being required. And that's what we are talking. Honorable Duro.
Chair, I generally feel that unless there's a compelling reason for not disclosing, we should in general try to comply. You see, we are satisfied that we did a reasonable investigation. I think that the committee feels comfortable that we did what we could. We asked for information, we asked for sworn affidavits, not just ordinary letters. And it seems to me that unless there's a compelling reason for not providing the material, I think we should do so. I think that it would be very embarrassing for Parliament if Parliament would, because we are Parliament, it would be rather embarrassing if Parliament would say that we conducted an investigation and we want to be silent on what we did. I think we should be confident in our work. We did what we could. And indeed, any provision of documents to the public protector, although these are public documents, this is not going to be a public affair. It's between the public protector and ourselves. And I presume that she would respect our decisions. So, and indeed, if she wanted to open up something, I would hope that she would consult us so that whatever further procedures might follow, if any, would be with our cooperation, because this is our affair. So I would lean in the favour of complying with the public protector's request, however, making it clear that we regard these instances as our business and we cooperate in the public interest, but not necessarily in the public domain. I would put it something like that.
Yes. Yes, I would like to hear that comment in the system.
Mr. Chairman, yes, in the interest of transparency and to further the course of justice, which is what the public protector is doing, I would support her request that we provide her with the necessary information that she's required from us.
Anybody that still wants to make an input on the matter? None. I think we will be in agreement to actually make that information available. And also I think we just need to be clear that making provision for all the documents that we utilize, it cannot be used to review our own decisions. It is for the investigation that she is busy with to assist her with that information. I think we are agreed on this particular matter. Then this matter takes us now to item number 6 on the progress report on the register for 2012. Then with this specific one, members will remember that the closing date was the 31st of July. And as we are approaching that 31st of July, and then there was a letter that was received requesting for an extension, which we did not speak to, because in any way, nobody was here in Parliament at the time that we can sit in the meeting and actually resolve on that specific matter. And today we have got the opportunity to do so. And only after we have got the progress report from the register. How far are we with the 2012 register?
Chairperson, we've received to date 325 disclosures of the 454. We've received letters. We've received a letter from Ms. Kalyan on behalf of the Democratic Alliance requesting an extension to the 20th of August, requesting because there's a number, and then we've had numerous requests in writing from individual members requesting an extension, many of whom have been on oversight visits, asking that they be given time, an extended time. So for the committee to decide whether, you know, the 20th deadline or an earlier date be given, or to condone.
Okay, I think we have heard we have heard the status. Something around 129 are still outstanding, and one thing for sure is that the National Assembly has been sitting yesterday, which means the bulk of the members are here, and the NCOP as well is here for the joint sitting today. So there is complacency, let alone to say that there are some that may be having genuine reasons, but there is complacency. Starting from yesterday, I think this number should have reduced drastically by today this time. And I think the correct message needs to be sent to the members and co-chair.
I would suggest, to be practical, that you provide an extension until the 23rd of August, which is about 2 weeks. So that's my proposal. But I also want to point out that perhaps the committee has not done enough to pressure and to explain both. And I think that looking forward to next year, we should start earlier. And we should actually take some fairly vigorous measures so that we don't get this kind of situation. It's embarrassing for Parliament, and it seems to indicate their reluctance to reveal interests, or whether it's just laziness. We do have a lot of new members, that's true, who don't know the procedures. So I think we should have an educational campaign before the next time, so that people have no excuse.
Honorable Kornhoff, and then followed by Claire.
I fully support Professor Tura on the deadline being extended to, I think it is a Wednesday. Thursday, the 23rd of August. Secondly, I support the idea to have a campaign to make members aware in future about the deadline. Thirdly, I think the 325 members who met the deadline really put in effort. Many of those members were on oversight, and I think when we extend the deadline, when the registrar report makes a note to say these members did submit before the deadline of 31st of July, and these the following list of members did not meet the deadline, so that we can start a process of discipline and getting rid of complacency.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, yes, once again, I find myself in the paper to rock. Well, I'm happy to do so.
I thought you were going to be the same side as mine.
I do. Chairperson, just in clarity, when an extension is requested, do reasons given why an extension is requested? Because if the members are in the country, I really would not understand the justification for extension, because I think we're given each one time. So I think it's clear whether examples of reasons are given and whether they're valid or not.
Yeah, the problem is that when the letter was submitted, the letter was referring to issues of members being on oversight. And then now you see the question that we raised with the Racing Crowd. You know, the issue of oversight was only last week. But then we had these forms almost 4 weeks back or so. And we even made sure that everybody is aware that they must submit it. And they could have even submitted it way before this week that people went to oversight. But then you can see that, as we say, there is complacency, because people were opportunistically using the oversight week as a reason for not submitting these forms. And hence that's why we're trying to find ways of actually ensuring that we really force compliance. And therefore one is inclined to align with the co-chair and the coroner to say that even our annual report must talk to those that complied by the 31st of July, and also those that complied with on the day of an extension, and those that will be failing after the 23rd. The report must talk to all of those. We must not hide anybody. In other words, name and shame those that did not comply on the original posting date. We need to actually indicate that so that we are able to get compliance as and when we require it. I think it is a necessary step to try and enforce compliance. And although that the date of the extension of the 23rd, it will be compliance, but it must be made clear that it's a compliance to a date that has been extended because members did not comply. Honorable Mnongo.
And also, Chair, when we get out of this meeting at the various party caucuses, I think the representatives here must remind the members that it is important for them to comply sooner, because there will be consequences thereafter. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. I think that is accepted. That's why I was saying that all members are here today. This time now, all members are here. And we can't say that there is 129 people out of this country or out of Cape Town. I don't think that will be in order. So it's just a show of a complacency.
Chairperson, I think I agree with you about complacency. And if all the members are not out of the country, my initial question was, are the reasons given? Because just giving blanket extension without looking to the reasons why, I'm not in agreement with that.
Yes, the honorable member is raising the matter that if all members are here, and why do we just simply give a blanket extension? Can we talk to that? Can we talk to that? Anyone that wants to attempt it? Because the problem is that there is 129 members that have not submitted. And to the best of our knowledge, we may not say all 129 are here, but many of these 129 are here in Parliament. And but then we are not having this compliance. Then that's what the Honourable Member is raising. How do we actually deal with this? Honourable Chair.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, actually to strengthen your hand even further, the deadline of 31st July wasn't the first deadline. If I remember correctly, there was an earlier deadline, wasn't there? Because I thought we as a committee had already earlier. for people, because they don't know that we are going to postpone it, so they you know,
yeah.
they actually still have to comply until we change the decision. Did they submit excuses, valid reasons for not being able to comply? Have you got letters of people saying, sorry, I can't make the deadline because of, and then give a good reason?
Okay. Well, we can get that from the registrar if she has received anything.
Chairperson, my apologies. my voice is never going to be right, I think. As long as I continue to smoke.
Confession,
Or make an attempt once you want to hear it out. I know I've got a very nice voice.
Never too late to stop.
Come on, Chairperson, I think. Let's give them a blanket extension until the 23rd. And restrict their applicants from next year. Tell them that this is the last time we are extending this period of submission of the interest forms. But I think next year we should propose a matter of different. Give a warning that if the registrar says the day for submission of forms is this and that, that will be final in the future. But I think we should be a bit lenient this year and allow them up to extend this up to the 23rd of August.
Okay, the registrar, did you receive any letter that substantiate non-compliance in any manner?
Chairperson, we've received numerous emails from him saying that, can you please give us an extension? When I'm next in Parliament, I'm out on oversight, I will be informed. Letters in that vein, we've received about 20 odd letters, and then we received one request from Ms. Kalyan on behalf of the DA members who are not available.
Okay.
Chair, I would support Honourable Lamin, with the proviso that the letter telling people that deadlines being extended should include the penalties. What if they do not comply by the 23rd?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what the penalties will be. That will be the best thing you can
do.
Specify the penalty of non-compliance by the 23rd. So you use the carrot and the stick.
Okay, agreed. We are moving from this particular point.
Chairperson, before we move.
Yeah.
What penalties are we talking about?
In terms of the code.
In terms of the code.
In terms of the code, there are stipulated. And you can just list all of them. The last point, the review of the code. Honorable members, with the review of the code on item number 7, I think we are in agreement that a workshop is necessary for this review of the code, and then that we must hold to ensure that we move this specific project forward, and we need to have it as soon as possible, and we definitely need a date for the workshop. It's going to be the whole day, and members will be expected really to prioritize that workshop and to ensure that we are able to finalize our work. Chair.
Yeah. Yes, Chair, I support that, and I would suggest a date Wednesday, the 22nd of August, for a full day workshop. There will be obviously overlap with other business, parliamentary business, and so on. But we need to set a date. If that date doesn't meet, for instance, if there's an urgent plenary or whatever, then we negotiate. But we need to start with a date. So a provisional date. Let's call it provisional date. Wednesday, the 22nd of August, and we examine all the possible conflicts, and then we adjust if we have to, but we must fix a date. We really need to show seriousness on this. hurricane, complacency, lethargy, the committee must be seen to be serious.
Any support for the date?
Will it be a morning or afternoon or
all
day?
The whole day.
Then maybe Wednesday is not such a good day. I want to propose that we do it, you know, when Parliament is still in session but there's no plenary, it's committee week, and we schedule that one of those days. It's a week after this is a committee, so it's a legitimate parliamentary business, and we schedule a day for that. So we don't compete with other committees or parliamentary sessions, because there is parliamentary session that often it's questions, oral questions. And that's always going to be complicated. There are committee meetings in the morning.
Gunda?
Chair, unfortunately, 22nd of August will be out for me. And we won't be in the country on the 22nd of August.
Chair, can I?
Yeah.
It's always impossible for a committee to fix a date. I'm asking that we set a provisional. It's very provisional. Would you allow the chair with the chairs with the registrar to negotiate and look at all the possibilities that come of the day? We can't do it here.
Take my proposal.
Yeah. We take it on board.
Well, it may be necessary that we negotiate, you know, it's the exemption of members, you know, from attending all other things, if we have to actually think through that specific matter. Because surely, like as they say, whether you need a Monday, you've got challenges, Tuesday, have challenges, Wednesday, you've got challenges, Thursday, the same. Friday, you know, you don't even want to attend the meeting. And so, a day has to be selected, negotiated with whoever may pose a problem on that specific committee work, and get exemption, and then, but on top of it, we will request all members of the committee to really prioritize this particular workshop when it happens. And it will be one of the workshops in the many workshops that you attend somewhere else. It must be prioritized. Member,
yes.
I wanted to find out, is it only committee members who are supposed to attend it? So if not, then it means that you should approve that committee.
Yeah,
I
mean, no, my understanding is that the workshop, the first workshop that you are going to have is these committee members with all the inputs from the political parties that we have asked for them to seek inputs for on the review. That was my understanding of the workshop.
I'm afraid I had slightly different regulations.
Yes.
That may be right.
Yes.
Why don't we discuss the options? You see, if I may respond, it may be a good idea for this committee to have it with inputs, as you say. But then I don't think we need a whole day. I think that an alternative idea is to have the whole of Parliament, because what we are raising are very important principles of ethical conduct and all that. But I'm open to suggestion, and maybe my recollection is faulty.
Yeah, it looks like a co-chair, because I think we have agreed that actually in the beginning we agreed that we are going to have 2 full days of this committee sitting in a workshop, discussing all of this particular input and finalizing a document that now we will go out with it. And then, given all these other circumstances, that's why we are now agreeing on a workshop on one day, full day, and then where we are actually going to deal with this input and actually produce a document now that has got inputs of political parties that are in Parliament. And therefore, then I will be having a document that would move all out.
Chairperson, I want to support the proposal that was made by Mr. Weyer. If the workshop has to be the whole day, it should be the day when we do not have dinner. Because some of us have questions, and as you know, that when you ask a question, you're normally expected to be there when the minister is born. But if he thinks when dinner is, then it should be maybe the only.
Yeah, as you have already indicated, it's a provisional date. I think all members can go and look at their diaries and their work and then how they are affected, and then probably will be taking informed decisions. But for now, let us fix it on that specific day for us to be able to negotiate programming and the rest. Agreed?
Okay.
Now we are getting to the two items now
Just before you move on, can I just also suggest that we mandate the two co-chairpersons to work out the agenda for that day. And if there's speakers to be involved or the program to be put together, that we don't come and get back to the committee again, but that we mandate you to work out the program for that day.
Okay, I agree. The registrar will help us as our golden hand. And we should be able to get over that one. I think you must know why the date is put as the 22nd. We also need a little bit of time for logistical consultation and arrangements of for this specific workshop. And so we will undertake that kind of work. The members, and then we now get to the... Assumption.